It's 12:35, Gareth Hall with you on RSN Central. The fifth quarter not far away with Matty Nevitt and Nicholas Quinn, but it's now time for an update on Taz Racing, and there is plenty happening there in Tassie at the moment, and the man that has been leading the way for decades in Taz Racing, telling us the stories out of that wonderful state, is Peter Staples, and he joins us now. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
G'day, Gareth. Long time no talk, mate.
Yeah, happy new year, mate.
And the same to you. It's long as you're healthy and wealthy and wise still, that's all good, mate.
Definitely healthy. I don't know about the other two.
Show them all your bank balance.
Yes.
Come on. They'll drop dead.
King Island. It's disappointing, isn't it? Like, it's such a wonderful place, King Island, but unfortunately there's no racing this season again.
Well, the latter half of the season. And look, you know, COVID around Australia has, a lot of industries, a lot of businesses have gone bust, and it's COVID-driven, and we just can't get away from it. We have to learn to live with COVID, and unfortunately, it's fallen victim to COVID. And I'll put it to you this way. If you had a meeting that, now, you know, King Island is a wonderful place, and the people over there, you know, they absolutely, Audrey Hamer, who looks after the racing side of it there, they love their racing, and they take pride in all the stuff that they do, and it's an absolute credit to them. They really do a wonderful job. But when you have meetings over there that are non-TAB, can't bet on them anywhere else except on the island with a bookie. They're not covered by Sky Channel or any other way show. We Taz Racing gets replays for them. But look, it's if you had all the stewards worried about whether they're going to, they were low on the ground anyway because of COVID here in Tassie. If you had a picnic race meeting at Balnarring and your key stewards had to go there to cover it, and you knew there was a COVID outbreak there, what do you think the race in Victoria would do?
Yeah, you understand where they're coming
from.
Well,
no, what's the answer?
Well, they wouldn't have it, obviously, because if you haven't got enough stewards, so then you can't have race meetings.
Unfortunately, we race once a week here, so the stewards that we have, most of them multitask in terms of all codes. So you need to have that, and they need to have the ability to work with all codes in case they're needed. So it is unique here in Tassie. And while it might be, you know, there are some who are making a big song and dance about, you know, King Island and how they've been hard done by, King Island will probably agree that under the circumstances, there was very little else that could be done.
Yeah.
For the safety of everybody.
What's COVID and like there in Tassie at the moment, Pete?
1,300 cases, new cases yesterday.
Yeah.
And when you put that in perspective, 1,300 new cases with a population of 500,000. That's a lot.
Yeah, and it's only probably going to... Yeah,
believe it or not, it's probably starting to go down now.
Is it?
We may have... one of the best things about Tassie was when the government opened the borders and there was, you know, I mean, Peter Gutman copped it in the neck because, you know, he did open the borders, but, you know, sooner or later you've got to start realising that we've all got to live with this thing, and how do we manage it and move on? Well, he did made the decision and said, all right, we're opening the borders, everyone comes in, we know we're going to get COVID. Well, I don't think even he expected we got that many, but it did happen. But it's being managed because we do have high vaccination rates, and that's one of the things that's going to enable Tasmania to probably peak close to now or maybe a couple of weeks, certainly by the end of the month, and then start to get a decline as we go through it, and then we learn to live with COVID.
Yeah.
Everybody has to. And we've got to wear masks for the next 5 years? So be it. Let's just move on and live with it. At least we can start going places and, you know, travelling and doing those lovely things that we work our insides out to do every year or 2 years.
We can listen to Pete play music at night.
No, I've given up.
Oh, have you? That's disappointing.
Yeah, COVID's finished me.
Oh, okay.
You see? Collateral damage.
Unbelievable. I was going to get you to play at my wedding anyway. We'll have
I'll still do that.
Oh, thanks for that, Pete. I'll tell Dania that I booked you, but we'll go. What about the three-year-olds? Now, everybody's talking about Turk Warrior and Alpine Wolf. When do we get to see them?
Well, you'll get to see Alpine Wolf in the Launceston Guineas next Wednesday night in Launceston, over 21. And I'm tipping that if they don't think he quite gets to 21, I reckon they'll revamp and have a crack at the Guineas, Australian Guineas. That's only my feeling.
So why wouldn't they just go to the Australian Guineas? He's a third favourite there.
Yeah, well...
Would you? It sounds like you would have went to the Australian Guineas, Pete.
No, I wouldn't have. I'd have stayed home and taken all the pickings there because I get a Launceston Guineas and a Tasmanian Derby. There's $300,000. Well, not that much, but that's what the race is worth. And before you know it, you've got something to look forward to. There's another race over in Melbourne that you could go to.
Yeah.
It's not the Australian Guineas, and pick up a win there, and who knows what happens. Yeah. Maybe Hong Kong might be interested in looking at him in that, then, and they might give him $1.5 million and he'll leave our shores.
Would he pass a vet?
He's already done that.
Yeah, okay. So he's right to go.
Well, they've already been over and checked him out, and then they've already had riders come over and ride him to check him out. So that's already been done. There was a proposition put to them, and Bruno Calabro, who bred the horse, decided that no, it's not really in his best interest or the rest of the owner's interest to let him go now.
I tell you, which is great for Tassie Racing. You don't want these type of horses leaving it.
No, nothing to give me. It would be sensational if we could just get Alpine Wolf to go to an Australian Guineas and then put him to the test. But you've got to realise that. When you go to races like that, you've got to be 100%. You've got to be absolutely at the top of your game like Mystic Journey was, okay? Yeah. She's the benchmark. Trinda had her right, absolutely right for both of those races, the Guineas and the All-Star Mile.
He did a wonderful job. When you think about the job that he did with Mystic Journey, Adam Trinda, I think his greatest training triumph with her was to get her back this spring. Like, she should have won a big race.
She could have won the Empire Road.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It took a Damien Oliver best.
Masterpiece, yeah.
Absolutely.
And she looked like she was coming towards the end at her previous preparation. But Adam said, no, she's still okay. And to do what he did with her was... That just proves what a great trainer he is.
Adam, he does. And he had a great understanding of the mare too. And that was the big thing.
What about Launceston tonight, mate? Can you help us back at winner there?
Yeah, look, I'm really, really keen on a maiden in race two in Nosdrapil. I think it's a perfect race. They're backed at 17-390 already from Brendan McShane stable. Had a run over 1600 metres and ran fourth. Was ridden okay by Tata Johnson, a 3 kilo claiming apprentice, but probably should have gone at a different time. But with a strong rider, Bulamuku, strong left hand whip rider, and he has been working the horse as well. So, and the money's come. They're good indicators, certainly with a McShane runner. But I like the horse. He's by Dostradamus, and I think he's got a bit of a future in the staying game. And believe it or not, there's a Zoostar filly in the same race, a stablemate, going around. And she's not bad either. She's a lovely-looking type. And he picked her up for $10,000.
Did he?
$10,000.
Average about $300,000 last week on the Gold Coast.
Well, mate, he picked her up for $10,000. She's very well-bred out of a mare called Stammer. And he was at right place, right time. He was over there. Someone he knew that worked for a starter, one named the Stud in Victoria, and said, look, there's a certain circumstances. How much can you offer me for this? He said, I wasn't really looking at it. He said, I've only got $10,000 left. He said, come and have a look at her. $10,000. I need to organise this to clear something up.
Okay.
So, it's like right time, right place at right time.
I was there.
And, um, And I just said to Brendan, you got any shares left? Unfortunately, no.
I was thinking I have to go down to Tassie to buy my next superstar, like find an Alpine Wolf or a Turk Warrior after. What did they go for at the Magic Million sales?
Turk Warrior was purchased privately at Graham McCulloch's farm for $50,000. He passed in at the sale.
Yeah.
And so Ismail Toka had been, you know, overriding a couple of Graham's horses and actually rang his uncle, say at Basol, and said, you've got to have a look at this horse. This horse is really good, you know. Anyway, he convinced him to buy it. And he did. And there we go. He's got Turk Warrior. Alpine Wolf was bred by Bruno Calabro from his very good mare that produced some good ones. And he, you know, took him along gradually. Barry normally trains for him, but he was out for a couple of years, as we know. And Mark Gannon did a great job, you know, getting the horse ready. And he won his first race with Mark as the trainer. And then Barry came back about 4 weeks, 3 weeks later.
Yep.
And, of course, the horse move was always planned to move back to Barry. And he got him. But the thing with Alpine Wolf, that he had issues with a little virus thing that affected his coat.
Okay.
And also internally. And if you'd have seen him, if you have a look at any photos of him, you'll see his neck on
Staples
his offside.
Staples is joining
of his
myself, Gareth, all here on RSN Central. And Pete, we're just talking about the coat on Alpine Wolf.
Mm. Yeah, it was quite apparent when he was down winning the Tasmanian Guineas, first time over a mile. And Barry was talking about it. I looked at it for the first time, and I thought, well, it is. And I thought he's just, you know, a lather of sweat, but actually, it's coloured. It was yellow, and it was just, and it's just starting to sort of come good now. But that's the sort of thing that Barry had to deal with to sort of get him, you know, training with that, knowing he had that. And had to treat it. And that's probably one of the reasons why he didn't go to Hobart for trial and whatever, because Barry plays his cards pretty close to his chest, and so he should. But it was quite evident that there's a discoloration in the horse's coat. And, so when you're thinking about going to a race like the Australian Guineas, and if you didn't think he was probably pretty good, but, you know, maybe not at 100%, you would go.
Yeah.
So, but unless it all, you know, comes good and everything's, I think 100% is worth taking. But it's just a matter of, because he runs time. That's the thing. He runs time over those distances. But his time was really good over the mile. And it was a great ride by Daniel Gannon, and absolute peach.
Yeah.
So I would think that I really think he'll get 2,100 metres. I think he'll go to the Launceston Guineas next Wednesday night. I think he'll win it. I think they'll go to the Derby in Hobart over 22, and they want to bring a bloody good one to beat him, depending on how he goes in the Lonnie Guineas. And then where they go from there, well, that's up to them, but it wouldn't surprise me if they tip him out.
Yep. No, I can't wait to see what he can do during the carnival, but I think everybody here in Victoria is looking forward to seeing him compete here one day. Maybe we'll have to wait until the spring, which is okay, because I think...
Well, you might see Turk Warrior.
Yeah, two great horses.
Yeah.
Well,
he's heading for the 3 and 4-year-old Magic Millions on Oaks Day.
Yep.
In Launceston, most likely his next trip. And then they'll have a look at it from there. But, he's... he was ridden a little bit cockily. He was just, it was like, he was ridden like a robot, but they're not robots.
No.
They got feelings, and when they have to pull 800 metres of a race, you can't win one over a mile.
And the last one before we let you go, Pete, because the Hornet's ready to go with the fifth quarter. What about Brendan McCool? You've got a breaking story about Brendan.
Yeah, Brendan's missing this Wednesday night, and also missing on Sunday. Key rides on DeRoshan, Siobhan Renegade, and Bellow Bow, Adam Trinder's top two-year-old from the Elwick Stakes. So he can't ride because he has a knee injury. Now, we've known that Brendan had a dicky knee for a bit, but he was able to, you know, get by. But he's going to have a small surgical procedure. And they're hoping his surgeon and him are hoping that that will work and it'll get him through the carnival. And but he was definitely going to have decent surgery on that knee post the carnival. Or if this procedure, small procedure, doesn't work, you know, most likely have it sooner than later.
All right, Ben, we wish him the best of luck, Pete. Great insights as always, mate. We'll catch up with you later on.